dropping knowledge bombs all over the state of Alabama.
Pew, 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 pew.
Truett News Radio, Truett News Radio. Listen to us on Truett News Radio.
Welcome to Truett News Radio. It's your weekly dose of gumption and positivity, for whatever that means. Now, here are your hosts, Tony Truett and Brock Murphy, probably the two coolest guys in the world, at least in their minds. Let it rip, fellas.
Hey, good morning.
Oh, it's ripping. Wait, am I on? Am I live? Hello, hello. Come in, Tokyo.
I don't know. Are we working?
Well, I think we might be. Who are? Yeah, anyway, who are you?
I'm going. It's Tony Truett, Truett Insurance and Bonding.
Yeah, well, I'm Brock Murphy with Brock G. Murphy Law Firm. Yeah, helping small businesses around the state of Alabama. Doing some stuff related to construction and all that sort of stuff. And this is Truett News Radio. We're glad you folks could join us all around the state of
Alabama.
Absolutely.
Welcome to the Truett News Radio listening world. We appreciate everybody giving us a listen this morning. And got a good show, man. We got a very accomplished young woman that Ibby Dixon. I was blown away looking at her resume.
Yeah.
And she is officially Miss
Historic Springville.
But she's also been Miss University of Alabama and a bunch of other stuff.
Yep.
And she's going to be really interesting. And then Jim Searcy with the Economic Development Association of Alabama and all the stuff that they do around the state trying to bring.
Which we're going
to
learn what they
do. Yeah, really are.
Yeah, I'm not smart enough necessarily to conduct this interview, but it'll be a lot of fun. And it should be very interesting, very informative.
Brock, we had a super busy week.
Yes.
You know, and it was a short week, I guess.
Including, by the way, cutting the little ditty that opened up this show.
Yeah, that was pretty fun, by the way. And now we just got to make sure any of that's right.
Yeah, well, that's right. It was going to be a beta, but by golly, it got thrown in there live. But thanks to Johnny B too for putting
together.
That together. Yeah, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. And man, I was trying to think of what else we had here. Oh, I did my little, I started my thing Tuesdays with Tony for the first time ever. We're going to try to put that on social media. So some of the stuff that doesn't make the show or work-wise or things like that, we're going to plug in. It's going to be a fast and fun read. So get out there and learn some stuff.
Oh, nice.
Tuesdays with Tony.
Oh.
I like the sound of that.
I don't know. I didn't even know about that. I don't know what this is.
I have a little logo, Brock. I can show it to you later. But, what else we got going on? Let's just jump into the news, unless you got something else.
Hey, by the way, your Birmingham Stallions won the USFL twice in a row, right? By the way, their place kicker, Brandon Aubrey, is the Dallas Cowboy place kicker, and he's a first-team Pro Bowler.
How about that?
And
the other thing, you know, we made the cut for the new league.
That's where I was going with this.
And, but did you see where we're not a hub?
Oh, is that right?
So they're gonna basically live in Texas and then fly in here to play the games.
Oh, well, that's weird. Yeah, well, and then also it's interesting, the USFL, there's a USFL conference and an XFL conference, and we are in the USFL conference with the Michigan Panthers, the Memphis Showboats, but not the old Memphis Showboats with the silver and the red and the blue, but instead with the blue and the gold. And a Houston team, but not the Houston Gamblers. We've got the old XFL Houston Roughnecks are in our USFL division. And then on the other side is the St. Louis Blackhawks, the DC Defenders, the Arlington Renegades, by the way, head coach there, Bob Stoops, and the San Antonio Brahmas, head coach Wade Phillips, former Denver Bronco defensive coordinator and head coach. So we'll be interesting. And as we get closer to kickoff, we'll bring back Novo Bojevic, right?
Yeah, I really want Novo back on to get his stuff.
Yeah, he'll help us introduce us because that's tradition, frankly. Yeah. We've done it 2 years in a row. We'll do it three.
Absolutely. Hey, I want to give a shout out here to Bill Peppers. I'm not sure the guy's name. I got to look him up, but he does a great job on social media. They got a restaurant over in Hueytown, I believe, but he does these I want him to come on the show. We're going to get him. They do these prepackaged pizzas. I don't know if they do any other foods, but man, this guy's incredibly hardworking, and he's got his pizzas now being served at the Altamont School in Mountain Brook. There's some other schools around town that this is part of their lunch programs, and he's got them in, I think some Piggly Wigglies and all that. He is hustling, and I've been impressed with him. So Bell Peppers, everybody be looking for that brand.
Yeah, for sure. That's really cool. Hey, by the way, we you brought on Fight or Die, which introduced both of us to the world's toughest row, which introduced us to one of the craziest stories I've seen, certainly so far in 2024.
It's the coolest thing. You know, they are, it's all ex-military people. They have their team, and it's part of the Fight or Die.
OAR.
The challenge, or that's the team, but they're in the challenge.
World's toughest row. International teams.
Rowboating.
They're single. Did you know they're single rowers? I mean, there's several boats with just one person.
They're rowboating across the Atlantic Ocean.
3,000 miles.
And have encountered storms and seasickness. An amazing challenge this is.
They're into their third week and they're not there. I mean, they're definitely not there.
I mean, they've already rowed and rowed and rowed, and you're still not there yet. And just the whole thing is incredible. But they raise funds for, you know, veteran causes.
Yes.
And, I thought it was great to hear from them. But tell the story.
So there's a trio out of the UK. And by the way, I'd love to have them on because I'd love to just listen to their voices, right? But it's a female trio, and their boat is called Vibe the Wave. And they were out rowing, and it was, I guess, pretty conditioned. You actually saw some photos of it. And they spied a marlin out in the distance. And honestly, the spying of the marlin raised their antenna of concern, and appropriately so, because the marlin ended up, I don't know how else to say it, spearing their boat. It literally punctured the hull of their boat, Vibe the Wave. And there was a safety team nearby for World's Toughest Row. They came to their rescue. But honestly, they didn't need to. It sounded like these three were really, really calm, really effective in their thoughts. They figured out that there's something on board that is approximately the size of that hole. They wrapped it with duct tape and just stuffed the hole.
Amazing. Yeah. I never thought about fish attacking you while you were out there.
Well, I mean,
and
apparently,
did you say they keep doing these hand photos of everybody?
For sure.
I mean, and they're
major
just,
blisters.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, I mentioned the Altamont School. I was going to, their head of school, Cecil Stodgel, was recently elected to the Board of Trustees of the Southern Association of Independent Schools, which oversees about 390 schools out there in the U.S., Caribbean, and Latin America. So that's a big deal. Good for him, and good for Birmingham getting some, you know, some PR out in the world.
Oh, there's no doubt. Hey, listen, the Birmingham Stallions used to play at Protective Stadium, right?
Yeah.
And as you said, they'll still play some games at Protective Stadium. So does UAB football. So does your Birmingham Legion. By the way, open tryouts for the Birmingham Legion are a week from today.
Get out there and give it a shot.
Yeah, you're going to go do that, right? And then just a couple weeks later, I think I'm right. The Atlanta United come in for a
friendly. I did some calf raises the other day. I'm ready. Yeah.
Were they strenuous? Did you grit your teeth?
Yeah.
But I noticed this the other day. It was a post by Protective Stadium. They're not just doing those, or they're not just hosts for those three things, you know, the Stallions, UAB football, and the Legion. But this year, both times in March, they're going to have some new additions. So the Monster Jam is no longer going to be in Legacy Arena. It's going to be right there in Protective Stadium. That'll be Saturday, March 23rd. But 2 weeks before that, they'll still have a lot of dirt on the field, or it's where they'll install a lot of dirt on the field, for an AMA Supercross motocross race.
That's going to be good.
Oh, man, I grew up watching it as a teenager. I had a little dirt bike, loved watching motocross and Supercross. By the way, I think the difference between motocross and Supercross is a motocross is outside on a natural track. A Supercross is within a stadium.
I just think I think that's great if they can keep using that stadium. I mean, it's why we've needed something for years and
for
years.
Sure.
But hey, I wanted to say happy 80th birthday to the Alabama Cattlemen's Association. Back in 1944, they had their first meeting with 60 people down in Demopolis, and it's grown into what that is.
Yeah. Hey, we got Ibby Dixon coming on again, right, Miss Historic Springville.
What a great name, by the way.
Oh, for sure. We previously had Elena Burt on. She was Miss Jefferson County's teen. She then became Miss Alabama's teen. And by golly, starting tomorrow, she does her interview phase for all the other contestants in the Miss America's teen contest in Orlando. She's down there. And in fact, she even posted that you can send mail or care packages to her. It's care of Lowe's Sapphire Falls Resort, 6601 Adventure Way, Orlando, Florida, 32819. But she had such a cool week before she even decided to fly down to Orlando, or before she did that, she actually posted a picture of her. You'll recall she's a pilot, right? She got her solo license. She's already involved in Auburn's aviation program. And she posted a picture of her soloing, I think it was solo, over the beach, I guess near Gulf Shores or whatever, texted her or messaged her about it, said, "That's so awesome." She said, "It was my fave ever. It was so pretty." But there she goes from soloing over to the beach to getting on a plane and going and competing for Miss America's teen. By the way, she's down there with Bree Burrell, who is Miss Alabama. And you may recall, I went to that contest. Bree brought the house down with her singing, just an angelic voice. So I'm going to be excited to see how Miss Alabama and Bree Burrell does at the same time that Elena Burt is competing for Miss America's teen. Let's pull for them as they're down there in Orlando. Let's see what they can do for our state.
Yeah, we're talking about IBBY having a great name. UAB basketball.
Yeah, oh,
they're like
that's a great
pipeline
name.
Now, yeah. For great names. You know, we talked about Jelly Walker last year and the last couple of years a lot. He's moved on, but now the team's led this year by Butta Johnson.
Butta.
And B-U-T-T-A. I think he hit the game winner the other day, and they've been on a tear. So get out and support UAB basketball.
That's got to be one of the most beautifully built-in things in the world, that as soon as he just sinks one from the
incredible.
Outside, it's like Butta.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then, I could do the whole show this time on hiring people, but we're going to throw some of these in here. But Strickland Companies here in Birmingham, they're looking for an entry-level accounts receivable clerk. Tusco and Tuscaloosa, they need project managers, estimators, general laborers, and more.
Yeah.
Get in touch with them. And then my buddy Andrew Loveman over at Heidinger, Stewart & Chew, they're looking for an office manager, kind of 3-4 day a week setup. They do real estate stuff. So any of those, man, check them out.
If you're interested in restaurants, La Fresca is a nice little Italian offering right next to Bamboo on 2nd.
Yeah.
And they're hiring both back and front of house. They ask you to apply in their restaurant. It's in 2nd Avenue downtown. And by the way, there's another Umami. The first one's right by the Truett Enterprise headquarters, right? There in Lakeview. The second one's going in Trustville, the former Mexican restaurant site right there in the entertainment district. In fact, it's right near the stage. It's got a rooftop area where you can look out over the stage and the entertainment. But Umami Trustville opening soon.
Yeah, show alum Stephanie Stuckey, she's not busy enough, so she's now published a book about
Author.
The history of Stuckey's and its rebirth that she's overseeing. But I think that's going to be fascinating, you know, from a pecan stand to a national brand, how it kind of came apart, got a lot of debt, now being turned around kind of in a different direction. But look for that if you're looking for something about just business and, you know, how things can go from good to bad to good.
Oh, for sure.
But Stephanie Stuckey's book on Stuckey's.
Yeah, she is truly a real live Energizer rabbit. Southern Living came out with the top 12 best retirement towns, Tony.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go through all 12 of them, but the best all around kind of show alum, right? Chattanooga.
There you go.
It was the best all around. The best for affordability as a retirement town, the best for affordability was Huntsville. They bragged on their low unemployment.
They're winning all kinds of awards.
44 miles of greenways to be added to, I didn't realize this, an existing 73 miles of trails up there. Minor league soccer, baseball, hockey, the intuitive planetarium was one thing that they promoted. So, you know, way to go, Huntsville, one of the top 12 retirement towns in the country.
How about this, man? This is big news. You know, kind of Auburn institution, Byron Smokehouse, they've got a new owner down there. That's been
Tasty
around forever.
Vittles.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
34 years, they were owned by Glenn and Stephanie Gulledge. But now Kevin Tudhope has acquired the restaurant. He said he was always there, so it's not going to be a big change to his lifestyle.
Yeah, right.
But
he just goes
they're
going
to just keep doing things
till.
Like Glenn and Stephanie did. So good for all of them.
Birmingham Now closed out 23, kind of talking about some of their favorite promoted projects from the year. And the first one is one I think we mentioned here, but I just want to bring it back. Ascent Hospitality is the group that developed the Ellington Hotel. And that was at one time, you'll recall, quote unquote, the world's heaviest corner. And that was shared with the Brown Marks Tower right across the street there. They're redeveloping the 117-year-old Brown Marks Tower as a dual-branded, Tony. This is a big deal now. Remember, we went to the dual-branded in Nashville. This will be a dual-branded AC hotel and Element hotel. So the AC is sort of elegant, purposeful design, carefully crafted signature moments there, Tony. When you walk in, you'll have a signature moment. But the Element hotel part is like kitchenette, extended stay. In fact, it'll sort of be like the new dorms today. So some of these units will have a common area with a kitchenette, and then you go off to the corners to your private guest rooms, right, that are secured. 338 rooms expected to be completed by the time that project is done.
Do you do the, we need to have a hospitality guy on here, because do you do the dual branded just to have a larger property?
Yeah.
So like you can't have, you know, 393 rooms of just the Econo Lodge or whatever you got to have.
I think it's just to give you a diversity. So, for example, the new hotel that's going in at Stadium Trace, it's a dual brand, and I can't remember what the two brands are, but it's literally to give people an option of, well, in this case, do you want something that's sort of upscale, signature moment, elegant.
But they're always in the same flag.
Yeah, right.
A Hilton or a
So these are Marriott Bonvoy properties for sure. But one is, you know, again, sort of an extended stay, share the space, kitchenette kind of concept. And the other one is sort of chic and upscale. So, yeah, it's interesting. It gives you an opportunity to provide the market with a diversity of options.
Hey, I thought this was great. Putt Shack, you know, the golf I guess that's the Tiger Woods brand, right?
Yeah, and it's like it's dark inside, neon colors, probably a lot of loud music. So this is appropriate.
Well, I thought this is great. They Putt Shack, which I think is based in Chicago.
Yeah,
they announced they proudly earned the sensory inclusive certification from Culture City, which is you know based here.
Yeah, Suzanne Moore was.
Yeah, we had her on not too long ago, and but they'll be providing sensory bags equipped with noise dampening headphones, fidget tools, and other resources to the guests with special sensory needs. I thought that was great. One, that they're doing it. Two, that they think enough of it that they announced it. And three, that, I mean, that's another Birmingham.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know, another good feather in the cap for Birmingham.
Yeah, for Suzanne Moore and all the folks there at Culture City, that's a big victory. Hey, Hershey's being sued, Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah, for $5 million, by the way. In a district court.
$5 million?
Yeah, yeah. A federal district court in Florida. This woman is outraged, Tony. She's outraged.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's depressed and discouraged.
What happened to her?
Well, it turns out that
Hershey's damaged her.
Yeah, Hershey's damaged her because they sell something called the Reese's Halloween pumpkins, you know, during Halloween.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, it's like a Reese's Pieces, but it's chocolate on the outside, peanut butter on the inside, but it's roughly shaped like a pumpkin. But when you look at the label has little cutouts of the chocolate, so it's sort of like a jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah.
And she was outraged to discover, Tony, that when you buy the Halloween Reese's pumpkin, it's not carved out like that. It's only pure chocolate on the outside with delicious peanut butter on the inside.
I can see where
and she wanted the carved out jack-o'-lantern face. So she's suing. She's so discouraged and she's so emotionally distressed, Tony, poor woman, that she's going to sue. She has sued Hershey's for $5 million.
I'm surprised that isn't like $5 billion. I mean, that's $5 million sounds like a low number these days.
Yeah, that's almost like a scene out of Austin Powers, right? $1 million with the pinky in the mouth.
Hey, we're about to go to the hotline, but before we do, Tzatziki's, you know, another Birmingham founded company. They're on a tear, and I'm a big fan of Tzatziki's, by the way, but they're opening another location. We mentioned Chattanooga. They're having another Chattanooga location opening up. I think it's going to be their third one up there, but it's going to be at the Shops at Hamel. Is where it'll be in the Hickson area. I'm not familiar exactly with where that's at, but the franchisee up there, they've been with them since 2011, and Tzatziki's just keeps growing the brand.
Well, why wouldn't you? After all, Chattanooga is the best all-around place to retire, according to Southern Living, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
We got a hotline. We got someone on the hotline. This is Ibby Dixon.
Bonding Hotline.
Ibby, you with us?
Hello, Ibby.
Hello. How are y'all?
We're doing great, man. I've been fascinated by you this week. Brock had said we got this lined up, and I looked up your resume stuff, and you are very accomplished. I was very impressed with you, so great job.
Hey, thank you so much. And y'all, I'm a huge fan of you guys, so this is so exciting for me. I know my grandparents and my parents, they listen to y'all so much, so when I told them, they were so excited, and I think they're tuning in right now, too. So,
Hello to parents and grandparents,
Yes.
Well, listen, we just talked about an Auburn tradition, right, the Byron Smokehouse. You come in to balance things out, formerly Miss University of Alabama, now Miss Historic Springville. Tell the folks about, you know, your time at the University of Alabama, and also, you know, how you get about being Miss Historic Springville.
Yeah, how did you get into all of this?
Right. So, I mean, I just got to first out, you know, say Roll Tide, this, you know, 2024.
John, can you delete that?
I just came back from the Rose Bowl. So actually, that's why my voice is sort of gone. I did my part, y'all.
You did some screaming. You're a winner.
What I had to do. Yeah, we were not going to lose, you know, on my behalf. So I did my part. And I actually grew up an Auburn fan. Oh. And then my senior year of high school, I just started looking in Alabama. I got a full tuition scholarship and really only went there one time and absolutely fell in love with UA and everything about it.
Yeah,
so that was about 5 years ago when I decided, and it's been a whirlwind. But really a big reason why I went to UA was because of the scholarship aspect, and that came from me competing in Miss Alabama's teen. And I know y'all are familiar with Elena Burt, our current Miss Alabama's teen, and she is just wonderful. We sent her off to Miss America's teen yesterday. So
yeah, we're pulling for a big time in Orlando along with Bree, right? Yeah, I mean, in fact, it starts tomorrow.
Right, it does. So I'll be going down to Orlando this upcoming week to support them. But, I mean, they're just a testament. Elena's a testament to the scholarship money that you receive as a teen.
Yeah.
And that really jump-started my journey into UA, and that's how I got involved with pageants. I wanted some scholarship money. I wanted to develop. I wanted to grow. And a lot of women in my community, they encouraged me to do it. I'm from Sylacauga, which is, I like to say, you know, the happiest place on earth.
Yeah, the Marvel City. Big,
right, but it is. Yes, in Marvel City, yeah. We're just a great community, and the women in there, they wanted me to compete in pageants. And so I did when I was 12 years old, and then I came back at 14, and I've been doing it ever since. And about last year, I competed for Miss University of Alabama. And, I mean, that was the coolest moment of my entire life.
Oh,
it's a title with a lot of traditions, and just, you know, representing 38,000 students, but also the alumni base, the fan base. I got to go to the Sugar Bowl last year in New Orleans, participate in that parade. So that was so much fun. But now I'm in historic Springville. And, y'all, it is such a blast. I absolutely love it. And it's a small town with a lot of heart. So it's been so fun.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's a cool town. It used to be that Cafe DuPont was there in Springville. We've been there a couple times. They moved downtown. But I have to admit, I haven't been to Springville since then. But I thought it was a neat area even back then. So I can just imagine it today.
Well, I mean, they love their traditions and they love their history. I mean, they have a historical commission there, and they're really focused on, you know, the founding of Springville and just all. I mean, they have so many different events. I've never seen a small town with as much, you know, just like charm and history as they do. So it's really fun.
Folks, you're listening to Truett News Radio, and we're on the air right now with Ibby Dixon, Miss Historic Springville. And Miss Historic Springville is, I guess, what we would say is one of the brands that will ultimately compete for Miss Alabama. And what I know about each of those, and by the way, Ibby, we had been introduced to this whole universe by Lauren Bradford, whom we just happened to run into in the first USFL game as they sort of reintroduced themselves to the country. She was there. We took a picture with our friend Novo Bojevic and then brought her onto the show. And that's when we discovered that you exist, that folks like you and Elena and Emmy from last year, Miss Jefferson County, and all of y'all are so impressive to us.
I wanted to jump in on that. I mean, I guess I should have known this, Ibby, but I mean, we really have been blown away by how well spoken and everybody is. And I guess do they train you somehow, like in the pageant system, to do this, or does that basically kind of come natural with your personality? Or so, if somebody is out there looking maybe to get into things, what do you do to compete?
Well, I mean, this is what I love to say. So Miss America is this, you know, this huge, this iconic brand that across the nation women are competing, right? I mean, starting at 13 years old all the way to 28 years old. You're trying to gain scholarship money. Sure. It's helping you further your education. I mean, there's a variety of different benefits. You get a sisterhood. I mean, all those things. But I like to say that Miss America creates a foundation for you, and you just got to meet them halfway, right?
Sure.
I remember when I first got my first ever title, I was 14 years old. I had done some public speaking maybe in the past, you know, nothing crazy. But it was about a day after I got my first title, which was Miss Sylacauga's Outstanding Teen. And I was on top of the world. I was like, everyone, I should be signing autographs. You know, who needs a picture? What's going on? And I was given a microphone, you know, the next day to speak at an event. And so when someone just hands you a microphone at 14 years old, I mean, you start crafting the things that you want to promote, the message that you want to tell people, because that is just the beginning of a huge journey. That was 14. I mean, I was 14 years old, so that was almost, you know, 8 years ago. So I've been developing a message of mentorship and a community outreach and just coming together through connection of the variety of different generations together. I mean, that's the message that I want to send. So, you know, Miss America, they're going to give you a microphone and a platform to stand on, and, you know, you develop those things that you want to speak about. So yeah, public speaking, maybe it comes naturally, but really not for me. I've been growing ever since I started in the organization.
Well, you're special at it. I mean, I'm going to say, you know, I ended up going to Wings of Hope, Elena's event there just recently. And if I'm not mistaken, the person who was supposed to sort of MC or host that wasn't available. So I know that you and Emma sort of filled in spontaneously, and you did a fantastic job up there kind of helping Elena orchestrate through what was going to go on that day. I want to give you kudos for that, but I also want to give you an opportunity to talk about your community service initiative. You hinted at it, but it's Alabama Mentoring Initiative, I think.
Yes, that is the nonprofit that my dad and I actually started this past year. So that is just one aspect of what we've been doing. But y'all, it's such an important message. And it's actually, January is National Mentoring Month. So this is a perfect month to really promote the idea of mentorship. Just because I started a movement, it's a campaign about 7 years ago. It's called Mentoring Matters. And okay. I'm really a product of mentorship. I mentioned this earlier, but it was the women in my community who stood up and said, you know, Ibby, you should try this. Ibby, you should do this.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what we're talking about when we talk about mentorship. But it was really, I grew up with a community of mentors. When you grow up in a small town, that's really what you're given, which is just awesome.
For sure.
And I realized the benefits of mentorship. And then you also look across the state and you say, you know, one in three of Alabama's youth will never have a mentor, either that's a parent or a teacher or a dance coach. I mean, whatever that is, you need someone outside of your immediate family that you can go to. That, I mean, that's just a natural process of life, and it's so important. I also think it's important to mention that our generation, I mean, we're going through a loneliness epidemic.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about we're on our phones. It's hard for us to connect. And so we need older individuals. We need people across the generations to help us put that phone down and help us connect in real life and real time and work on getting our careers. And what are we doing right now to set us up for success in the future? I mean, that's all really important to me. So it's also important to my dad. He faced a drug addiction a few years back, and it was his mentors that helped him get through it. So last year we really connected on this idea, and I've already been doing, you know, work for the past 7 years. I've raised, you know, $27,000 and implemented mentoring programs. This has always been a part of my life, but dad really hopped on this train when we went to go visit a detention center in Tuscaloosa this past or last January, and he realized, you know, the impact that mentoring can, you know, have, and he's experienced in his own life. So that's why we started the Alabama Mentoring Initiative, which is pretty much the things that I've already been doing, but making it into a nonprofit, spreading the word across the state of Alabama of just, it's time for us to take our neighbors, you know, by the hands to look at the areas in your life where you need mentors or how you can mentor someone. And, you know, get started and, you know, make it a weekly, a daily thing, whatever that looks like for you. It's just so important.
I would imagine that, you know, in addition to recruiting people to be involved to get a mentor, you're also trying to recruit people who could be a mentor. And I would think one of the barriers out there would be this thought. I don't know if I don't know if I've accomplished enough in my life or if I'm smart enough or wise enough in my life to be a mentor. But the fact is, if you've lived life, you can be a mentor, would you say?
Oh, amen. I'm going to use that. If you have lived life, you could be a mentor. I mean, the biggest problem that I've experienced actually is we have a lot of, you know, qualified individuals. I mean, we're in Alabama. We have a lot of people who care about a lot of people, right?
Sure, sure.
But it's the timing aspect.
Sure.
So especially during COVID, I mean, it was so difficult to meet. It was, you know, that lack of connection. So really I found that it's individuals who don't have the time. Either they work really, you know, crazy, busy job. But I like to say that you can make mentorship as, you know, formal or informal as possible. You can do it online. You can get on a FaceTime phone call, or you can just meet frequently, whatever that is. Mentorship is flexible, and you need to look at the aspects in your life. You know, are you going to church? Are you going to work? And how can you easily implement it in your 8 to 5 or when you go to church on Sundays? You know, what are those ways that you can do it? So that's what I help people figure out. And I get them plugged into mentoring programs, I helped start them, you know, themselves. I've developed a curriculum and implemented them in school. So it's a variety of different aspects that I think a lot of people don't really think about when they think of mentorship.
Yeah. Well, hey, Ibby, we're about to have to wrap things up, but is there anything you'd like to say to before we let you go? And also, I saw in here that you have, I don't know if it was an interest or if you actually have like a business that does this, but videography, photography, all of that, anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a videographer, a photographer. I love graphic design and social media. So for any needs, if y'all ever need that, let me know. But yeah, I mean, if you guys are interested or if anyone's listening that is interested in mentorship and what everything that it can do for you or for someone that you know, I mean, visit mentoring.org. That's where you can get plugged in. Or you can email me at almentoringinitiative@gmail.com, and we can really start a journey. But I'm so thankful for y'all, and thank you so much for having me today. Please enjoy National Mentoring Month. Let me know if there's anything y'all ever need in the month of January, because we are promoting it across the state.
I love it. I love it. Ibby, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us, and hello to your family who are listening, and we'll definitely get back in touch with you for sure. Have a great weekend.
Awesome. Thank y'all so much. All Roll Tide, War Eagle, whatever, wherever you are in the state.
All right. See ya.
Thanks, Ibby.
Bye, bye.
Yeah, that's Ibby Dixon. Really energetic, just a fun personality. Miss Historic Springville will be pulling for her, obviously, in the Miss Alabama contest. But love her idea. Get involved with mentoring.org or Alabama or AL Mentoring Initiative at AOL.com. So just a really cool thing to do in what turns out to be Mentoring Month.
Yeah. Again, super sharp.
Oh, absolutely.
All of that. Brock, let me tell you about Truett Insurance and Bonding real fast.
What do you do?
Man, we do a lot of insurance and bonding, it turns out. But this week has been crazy. Everybody, I guess, getting back to it. But, man, we did a $3 million job on a bond on a project up in North Alabama. A $3 million bond on I guess it was about 3.6 here in town. We did another $5.8 million bond on a project here in town. So that was all great. We did a $139,000 job on a project down near Alex City. We got a new garage we wrote this week. We wrote coverage on working on a shopping center. We do a lot of commercial properties. So if we can help you with any of that, let us know. And builder's risk while you're building stuff, we do a ton of that. But Truett Insurance and Bonding, we do a lot of business coverage, home and auto, and then all the surety bond stuff.
Absolutely. Do it with Truett. Hey, was looking. It turns out Red Rocks, right? Amphitheater.
Yeah, I still want to go there.
In Morrison, Colorado. A lot of people think it's the number one concert venue in the country, possibly the globe. Who knows? But it turns out they were certainly the top attended U.S. venue for 2023. 1.65 million tickets were sold. And Tony, we looked it up. Its capacity is just shy of 10,000. So that's an awful lot of packed shows to have visited Red Rocks. And I think one of the things that would be interesting is how many people visit Red Rocks apart from that. So for example, when we went back for our mission trip, we brought an entire group of people, and we were there with nearly a full parking lot of folks who were just walking around and checking it out with no venue, you know, no concert going on at all. You just kind of wanted to see the sights and the sounds. I bet you there's another million people who probably go and through that venue through the course of the year.
Hey, congrats to United Bank. I think they're based out of Atmore. They're big in South Alabama. I know that, but they're celebrating 120 years in business, started about all the way back in 1904.
Good grief. I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, we did a bit of a deep dive. We went into the time machine into SI last week, but a couple of things I didn't get an opportunity to do. And by the way, that was December 29th of 1997. That was the cover. As you pointed out, that doesn't sound that long ago. It was 26 years ago. But anyway, the cover was Evander Holyfield in a Santa cap, right?
Yeah.
But two ads caught my eye. One is because there was a laptop by a brand name called Digital. They're not even around anymore. Don't even remember that they existed. But Digital's Ultra 2000 laptop, maybe you had one. It had the world's largest laptop screen back there at 14.1 whopping inches.
It was a powerhouse.
Yeah. But what they really were promoting was their gigantic hard drive of 3.2 gigabytes.
There you go.
3.2 gigabytes. And they also had a Plymouth Voyager ad, which, you know, everybody wants their minivan. Nicely equipped. You could get one back then for $17,250, Tony. I looked up the 2024 Pacifica on CarMax or, you know, the Carfax, I guess. You could get three of them. Three of them were available for anywhere between $60,000 and $63,000. They've more than tripled in value, essentially the Chrysler minivan.
Brock, do you know the Vanderbilts?
I have heard of them.
Yeah, yeah, they had a lot of money. The Commodore made some money in shipping and railroads long ago. And
yeah,
that money's still out there. But this is Gloria Vanderbilt's childhood home is up for sale in Manhattan for around $50 million.
50
So she did not, this isn't where she lived, but it was where she
grew up.
You grew up, okay? But it's a seven-story, 18,500-square-foot townhouse, one block from Central Park between Madison and Park Avenues.
Oh, geez.
So about the best real estate possibly
in
the world.
Yeah, for sure.
It was originally built in 1891, but it's 27 feet wide, which is huge for up there, apparently.
Jeez,
it's really rare for that area. But got a big roof deck, all this stuff. But $50 million for a house. And then at one time, this is the thing that blew my mind. At one time, the Vanderbilts had more than 10 of this type of home in New York, this area. Most of them have been demolished now and have become office towers or whatever they've become. But that's the kind of money that was out there for the Vanderbilt family.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
you throw in, these people also had other homes like the Biltmore around the country. I mean, it's amazing the money that they had.
I didn't know. You know, when you mentioned this story, I had looked things up and I had seen – and I didn't know Anderson Cooper was her son.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Gloria Vanderbilt's son was Anderson Cooper. And when she passed, one of the things that he had to close out on her estate was the place she was living at in Manhattan. And originally, because it hadn't been decorated since, I don't know, like 20 years or something like that, they had it listed for... $1.25 million, I think. But because he's Anderson Cooper and because it was Gloria Vanderbilt, he ended up selling it for twice that amount, $2.5 million. But I just think this is an astounding dig into the Vanderbilt name.
You want to know what's astounding? Have you heard of Crispy Crunchy Chicken?
I have not, but I can't believe what you're about to tell me.
This is amazing to me. They're based out of Alexandria, Louisiana.
Yeah.
But they're one of these, I think all of their distribution is through, you know, gas stations, convenience stores. That's where they push their product. But as part of that, they opened up 480 new stores last year. So in 2023, they got 480 new stores open. They now have close to 3,000 locations in 48 states. And they say this year is going to be a bigger year than last year.
Shooting at 3,000.
480 locations a year.
Yeah, so, you know, they're sitting around a table and someone's bragging on the new business that they started. Like, yeah, we started 480 last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, 480. I mean,
and we're just hitting stride.
Good grief.
But, hey, let's go back to the Truett Insurance and Bonding Hotline and talk with Jim Searcy. Jim, are you with us?
Jim, hello.
I am. How are y'all this morning?
Hey, well, man, I tell you what, we really appreciate you getting up early and coming on the show with us.
Yeah, for sure. Although we're a bit intimidated, we're not sure we're smart enough to ask you good questions.
Yeah, exactly. we really want to kind of jump into this because it's the Association of Economic Development, but each county and areas have their own. And so kind of piece together, you know, what y'all do and how it works, and then tell us all the secrets that aren't out in the public realm yet.
Yeah, everything that you're not allowed to tell us, we'd like to know.
We want to hear all of that.
Sure. Well, I kind of got distracted by the crunchy, crispy chicken story.
This is high level stuff we talk about here.
Yeah, well, Whataburger's chicken biscuit. So that may be my next stop.
But, there you go.
Hey, it's great to be with you guys this morning. I know. And really, this isn't that early for y'all, and it's really not that early for me. But EDAA, the Economic Development Association of Alabama, we're basically a trade association. We've got about 600 members, and we represent the economic development professionals throughout the state of Alabama. We've got members in, I think, every county.
Yeah.
And our membership is made up about 70% are what we call regular members, and these are the practitioners.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't realize that there are people in your community, in your city, and in your county that wake up every day trying to come up with and implement a strategy to attract investment into your community to try to get those new companies and to work with those existing companies to expand.
Yeah, get some jobs.
And then we've got and then we've got about 30% of our members are what we call associate members, and they're kind of they have a vested interest in economic development, but it's more of a peripheral interest. They your engineering firms, your private developer business development folks, construction company business developers, accountants, lawyers. We have a lot of attorneys that are members.
Sure.
So it's just a wide variety from that.
Well, I know that the winter conference is coming up. Y'all kind of do two a year, one in the winter, one in the summer. And the winter one is coming up at the end of this month. I'm going to come down to that, and I'm excited about it. Because it is, I was noticing on the list of people that have signed up, it really is a great cross-section of folks, you know, bankers, contractors, like you said, a bunch of attorneys that help, you know, craft these deals and all that. Do you or your office, do y'all take an active role in recruiting, you know, new business? Or do y'all kind of let the area people do that and y'all just support that? Or how does that work?
Well, what we try to do, our mission, in a lot of ways, well, we have kind of a three-pronged mission. The first one, and that's the most important one, is professional development. So, I don't know if y'all remember, years ago, there was a company called Beatrice.
Yeah.
And their tagline is, we don't make the products you use. We make the products you use better.
Yeah.
Nice, right, so, right.
Our primary mission is professional development. We accomplish that through, as you mentioned, the two conferences, our winter and our summer. But we also have quarterly seminars and webinars that kind of do a deep dive into some of the topics we covered. Our conference can go into it and get a little bit more information, trends, new technology. We see how it's going to be implemented going forward in the future. Labor issues, just a variety of things. And so we try to make sure that our members and our developers have the latest tools and understand kind of the terrain of economic development. Every now and then I'll get a call from somebody that's, you know, a consultant or somebody who doesn't understand our role or is new to Alabama. And they'll say, hey, I've got this prospect that's looking for, you know, 50,000 square foot building or, you know, 100,000 square foot building. They're looking for acreage to site, and usually I refer them to the Alabama Department of Commerce.
Okay.
One of our, you know, they're the lead economic development agents, and then of course networking opportunities, which is, you'll see, is this your first conference,
Tony?
Yes, it is. It's I haven't been. I've Wiley Lott has told me about it over the years, and has told me to go to the summer one, but this one's the first one up since I've been looking at it, so I'm fired up to get them down there. It's in Montgomery at the Renaissance Hotel, so it's going to be good.
Right, Renaissance Hotel, the 29th through the 31st, and oddly enough, our summer conference is usually, we have about 100 more attendees at that than we do the winter conference.
Down at the beach.
Because we hold that at Point Clear down in Fairhope, and apparently, Fairhope, the end of July, holds a little bit more of appeal to our members than Montgomery, the end of January.
Yeah, you didn't get to be where you are by being dumb.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's right. That's true enough. But yeah, then the networking, that's a huge part of what we do. And that's because while there's no more competitive profession than economic development, everybody is, you know, we're all chasing a lot of times the same projects. You have a lot more locations than you do projects annually. They also, it's very fraternal. And so we realize that, hey, what's working in Gadsden may have some application in Chatham, Alabama, what's going on in Birmingham. There may be elements of that could be incorporated into, you know, something in Coleman or Dothan. And so that's where we see an awful lot of progress and a lot of it's a real dynamic process to have people interact and kind of tell what's going on in their areas.
You're listening to Truett News Radio. We are on the air with Jim Searcy, the executive director of the Economic Development Association of Alabama. And that was one of the questions, I guess, that I had is I guess, on some level, there's the potential for tension between a couple of the economic developers with respect to a certain opportunity. But I like your idea that there's also an opportunity for synergy between them and probably some of the associate members to actually help out other communities as they're attempting to develop their local economy.
Right. Well, ultimately, we kind of, our philosophy in mind, and I was a practitioner for, you know, 25 years before I went to work for the association. And, you know, the reality is, and I know it's difficult, especially if you're living in, I live in Prattville, And, you know, if you live in Birmingham or you live in Homewood, you kind of, if you don't know much about economic development or the process, you kind of see it as a zero-sum game. It's like if we're in Prattville and there's a project that goes to Wetumpka.
Right.
Well, at the end of the day, you're going to have people who live in Prattville who are going to work and are going to benefit from that investment in Elmore County, whether you're in Autauga County or Montgomery County or otherwise.
Sure, that makes
sense.
So
you have to kind of take a little bit more of a broader vision, because when companies are looking at areas, if they're looking at a location, they don't know where the city limits are. They don't know where the county lines are,
sure.
And they don't really care.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, hey, you know, they want to make sure that they're supported by the local community, both, you know, politically and from a community standpoint. But the reality is that they want to go where they can be the most competitive.
Well, kind of to your point, I think about like the auto industry or the aerospace industry as it comes into the Huntsville area, that you know, you have the supply chains, right, and all their different locations and the communities affected by all those employees and their need to educate their children. So I can see what you're saying. It expands out, it grows, and it affects multiple communities.
Oh, yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned the automotive industry, because I was working at the state level when we first engaged with Mercedes and they selected Alabama. And I think if you look at just the history of economic development and just the history of the state from an economic development standpoint or economic standpoint, that's kind of a line of demarcation.
Yeah.
You know, prior to that, you know, we were kind of, our industries were, you know, cut and sew. Obviously, steel was huge in Birmingham and in North Alabama. But the reality is, you know, we were considered more of a, I guess, an agrarian or, you know, more of a heavy industrial state. But sure. When Mercedes made that selection, it just changed everything.
Yeah.
Because at that point, it didn't just validate us for automotive. It validated us, the state, as a location for, you know, where you could do the latest type of manufacturing, the latest advanced manufacturing.
Yeah.
And it made I did it before Mercedes, and it was a daunting task.
Yeah,
I bet.
It has become much. You know, we've proven ourselves.
Well, and I mean, the thing I remember about the Mercedes thing too was, I mean, there is a lot of trade offs or whatever to attract these huge, you know, manufacturing companies like that. And I remember everybody was up in arms. You know, we're ruining the state getting this thing, but. I mean, and you did give a lot of concessions, but look at what you got out of that.
Gee whiz,
you know, I mean,
yeah,
it totally changed the image of the state, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And we do. I mean, and we use incentives to incentivize, you know, not just, you know, large mega projects, but, you know, those smaller projects. I always kind of compare it to baseball. It's like think of your mega project as a home run.
Yeah.
And, hey, you know what? You're going to, or a 3-point shot. You're going to live and die with that. Well, you really can't afford to. You've got to be able to make a lot of singles and doubles.
You got to hit the layups too. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And, because, you know, what'll happen is, I mean, my philosophy has always been in a lot of communities, I'd rather have 10, 100 employee plants than one 1,000 employee plant.
Sure. Sure.
Because, you know, if an economic sector takes a hit, and you know you've got all your eggs in that basket, it's gonna really, really impact you negatively. If you've got one or two companies that are in that sector and they take a hit, it's not good, but it certainly is. It's a lot more survivable.
Yeah. So, now that makes a lot of sense. Diversify, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and but as far as incentives go, I know that's probably the most controversial aspect of economic development, and the state and local communities, they do a good bit of due diligence to make sure that they're going to get an what we call ROI, but return on incentives as opposed to on investment.
Yeah.
And, you know, a small fabricating plant in Cleveland, Alabama is going to have a positive return on incentives because, A, their incentives are going to be to scale.
Sure.
And two, they're sustainable.
So, yeah.
It's an interesting process.
Yeah.
And you were asking about you know, do we work projects? No. And the reason that, you know, one of the things that's a kind of a cornerstone of e-town development is confidentiality.
Sure.
And so it makes for a lot of cloak and dagger stuff.
Yeah.
And you're actually in the process.
Yeah. Great point.
And I was going to let y'all know, a lot of times there are code names that are given to projects.
Yeah.
You don't want to, like, hey, and, you know, Mercedes coming in or Honda. You don't want to actually say, hey, Mercedes is looking at different parts of the state.
Sure.
Because that just creates all kind of issues. And it creates issues for the company because all of a sudden they're getting calls from different communities, you know, that they have no interest or just aren't feasible.
Sure.
Jim,
sure.
Do you get to come up with the names?
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. No, I mean, I did.
Is there an Operation Brock and Tony in the future?
Right. That's right. We would probably do, you know, Operation BT.
Oh,
there we go.
Gotcha, okay. Gotcha. Okay, yeah.
Even because, you know, people might figure out Brock and Tony. Yeah. They're never going to figure that out.
There's a lot of duos that go by Brock and Tony, a ton of them.
Yeah. Hey, man, we got to run to get the show closed up. But I was going to say before we let you go, I know y'all are looking for 6 interns right now for the summer program. If anybody's out there interested in that, get in touch with the EDAA. That would be a fantastic place to learn stuff. So,
hey, it would be great if you're a junior or a senior, you know one that's in an Alabama university, tell them to go to www.edaa.org. And there's more information on there, and there's actually an application they can complete. And those are throughout the state. We have 1 in Mobile, 3 in Montgomery, and 2 in Birmingham.
All right.
We're all over the state.
All right. That's great. Jim, again, thanks again for being part of what we do, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Yeah, for
sure.
All right,
that'll be good.
All right, see ya.
Yeah, that's Jim Searcy, the Executive Director of the Economic Development Association of Alabama. Check him out at www.edaa.org.
Yeah. Brock, I've been fascinated with the huge waves that have been happening out in California.
Oh,
have you
yeah.
kept up with
yeah,
any
yeah,
of this?
Waves,
I mean, like
waves.
30, 40 feet
yeah.
waves are coming
yeah,
in.
Yeah, for sure.
And some of the photos out there, the like the Ventura Pier being swamped.
Oh,
like you
yeah,
can't walk yeah. out on the piers.
Yeah.
I mean, because the waves are that high.
Yeah.
They're coming up there. And I don't see how these piers aren't coming apart. I guess they're not consistently that high.
Yeah.
Maybe they are. I don't know.
I guess they're built to withstand that,
but,
I don't know.
You know, if anybody's been out there to like La Jolla, you know, La Jolla
oh,
Cove
yeah, sure.
and the children's pool,
yeah.
you know, that everybody goes to look at the seals and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah.
Holy cow, man. The thing is just, I mean.
Just full?
Incredible, the action that is coming
oh,
in
wow.
there and people overlooking this. I mean, but think about a 40-foot wave coming at you.
Jeez.
All day.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow.
Joanne's brother, Sam, he's a big surfer. And the crazy thing, like they went out of town. Down
he
to Costa
it.
Rica, and he's missed the huge swells that all these people are doing. But if you get a chance to look at some of those photos, man, they're incredible.
Well, I don't know if you recall, but, you know, I was saying that my folks and I, we went around the beach on Christmas Day, and there was unusually high surf, in, you know, along the Gulf Coast, at least from, you know, Navarre over to Pensacola Beach. I have no idea whether there's any relationship, but that is really, really interesting.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we had Jamie Speakman on with Coleman Daily. You
yeah.
know, they've really grown that thing crazy on their site. But they had a picture that I just loved this week. Doug O'Brien at Bennett Tire in Coleman. He retired this week.
Yeah.
He's 89 years old. He's worked
that?
There for 51 years.
51.
At 89, the picture, he's out there slapping tires on a car on his last day at work after
yeah.
51 years, man. I just wanted to say, man, we salute you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doug O'Brien, way
yeah,
to go.
There's no question. Speaking of Coleman, you have down here, there's a new cobblestone. It's actually Inn and Suites that went
yep.
up in Coleman. That looks like a pretty neat property.
They're moving into Alabama. This is their first one in Alabama that's open. I think they're opening one in Foley or somewhere down in Baldwin County, if I'm remembering right. And I'm sure
yeah.
there'll be some other ones, but I haven't ever stayed at one, but I think it's great. They're coming into town. We need to get them on the show, too.
Yeah, for
Tell
sure.
Tell us what their plans are.
And as a new one comes into Coleman, an old one goes out in Boulder, Colorado, my old stomping grounds, the Harvest
Man,
House
put,
is coming
I put,
down.
I put this in there just for you, Brock.
And by the way, the Harvest House, it does. I have a relevant story. I was standing next to actually a good friend of mine, Greg Beekert. He was a middle linebacker
yeah.
for about 13
Played
years
with the
Raiders,
Raiders. Forever.
Yeah, and the Minnesota Vikings to close out his career. We were standing there agape, I mean, you know, mouths open watching the white Bronco of O.J. Simpson being chased from one of the common areas there in the Harvest House Hotel.
Well, I'm not familiar with Boulder, but Landmark Properties, big real estate juggernaut out there, they announced they acquired 15 acres there right off Boulder Creek, apparently. And they're building – I'm fascinated with all the student housing construction and all that because they go by beds. So they're building a four-story 936 bed, which is 303 units student housing community called the Standard there in Boulder, which apparently struggles for some student housing. They needed some more, but
well, there's a moratorium on building in Boulder County. Yeah.
Well, part of this deal of the 15 acres, they're taking 6 acres of that and making a park in Greenway connecting to this Boulder Creek.
The entire trail. Right. Yeah. So it's going to be, it's really a great addition right near the practice fields, just below the university. Excited to see it. Hey, I hear music.
Yeah, man.
Who are you?
I'm Tony Truitt, Truitt Insurance and Bonding. Love to work with you on your business insurance, home and auto, or surety bond needs.
I'm Brock Murphy with Brock G. Murphy Law Firm. Love to help you out if you're a small business doing something construction related. Love to help you out. Give us a shout. 205-313-6360. Did you know?
Did you know in rowing, the cox is the person who steers the boat, motivates the crew, and acts as a lookout? They're equipped with a cox box, which is a microphone and sound system within the boat, which enables them to communicate with each other.
I did not know that. Did you know Betelgeuse is a star? It's part of the Orion thing. The Orion, I can't think of the name, but it's at the center of our solar. If it was at the center of our solar system, 20 times the mass of the sun, it would actually envelop Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars.
Did you know many of the Germanic tribes were often migratory and sometimes merged, including the Jutes with the Danes in Denmark, the Geats and the Glutes and Swedes and the Angles with the Saxons and
England. Yeah, constellation is the word I was thinking of. And by the way, it's so huge. Betelgeuse is going to go supernova. Alabama will sail.